Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, earlier this morning, I got a chance to catch up just a few minutes ago with former Democrat Congresswoman, former Democrat presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard. She was in Whitefish on Monday for that Take Back Title IX rally to save women's sports, to save girls' sports. There alongside Riley Gaines, Selena Soul, and so many other great female athletes who were there, not just to stand up for women's sports and to stand up for girls' sports, but they were also there to call out liberal Senator John Tester, who is voted to allow men into girls' locker rooms, who is voted to take away opportunities from women and girls in sports. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard was in Whitefish on Monday, but she's still on the ground in Montana. Sounds like she's getting to spend several days here. I would have had her join us here in the 8 o'clock hour or later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, but as I understand it, she's doing several events with Republican U.S. Senate candidate and Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. Tulsi Gabbard is, of course, an Army veteran, a fellow Iraq War veteran, and so she is standing alongside another great veteran by standing in support of Tim Sheehy. And she called out Liberal Senator John Tester for fully embracing this woke agenda that's harming our military, harming our veterans in the VA. This woke agenda across the board that's harming girls. And so she called him out on that front. She called him out for his full embrace of this massive amount of government spending that's going to all these other countries instead of staying right here in America. So, she's apparently in back-to-back events with Tim Sheehy here this morning right now. So that's why I had to catch up with her just a few minutes ago. But what I want to do, I want to save a good chunk, if not all of that audio for you so that our friends in Missoula can hear it, so that our friends in Lewistown can hear it, Wolf Point, you name it. So I'll play that audio for you a little bit later on in the 9 o'clock hour of this show, maybe around 9:40 or so, if not sooner. In the meantime, though, hey, we've got the phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. Another topic we covered with Iraq War veteran and former Democrat member of Congress, Tulsi Gabbard, is our wide open southern border. Oh, yeah. Despite Biden's executive order, the southern border is still completely wide open. This tells you just how bad it still is.
A federal source familiar with this case tells Fox News that 8 nationals of Tajikistan with suspected ties to ISIS were all arrested by ICE and the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force in recent days in New York, Philly, and right here in Los Angeles. Now, Tajikistan is over 7,000 miles away from the southern border, and Fox is told that all 8 of these Tajik nationals crossed illegally into the U.S. and received, quote, full vetting by DHS.
Wait a minute. So they caught the terrorists, they found the terrorists, and Joe Biden and John Tester let them into the country anyway. Whoopsie-daisy.
Securing America.
A Senate Homeland Security Subcommittee hearing Tuesday examined the Coast Guard's efforts to eliminate longstanding patterns of sexual assault and harassment. Connecticut Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal said the Coast Guard had promised to solve the problem. But
the evidence points to a culture of cover-up continuing.
Blumenthal adding that
our investigation has shown a deep moral rot within the Coast Guard.
Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson agreed, saying he had hoped the issue was in the past, only to find it's not.
This has to get fixed.
Coast Guard Commandant Admiral Linda Fagan promised to fix the issue.
Sexual assault and sexual harassment are crimes that harm our members, and it is not who we are.
Adding that she has met with victims and her message is
that I remain steadfast in my commitment to making lasting cultural change.
Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
Well, I think you might have noticed, I waited until I got off the airplane and I was back home safely in Montana before I said a word about this. Yeah, I ran into Chuck Schumer. Yeah, that's right, that Chuck Schumer. I ran into Chuck Schumer in the D.C. airport on my way back to Montana, so you know I had to say something. If you missed the story, I wrote about it. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, just why what I had to say got so under his skin. MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here. Phone lines are open for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about, Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk, 406-294-0970. First up, we got Mike in Big Timber. Mike, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm sorry I don't have a computer, so I couldn't visit MontanaTalks.com, but I was just curious to know two questions. First, what you said got under Schumer's skin, and second, were you wearing a hazmat suit? Because he's highly contagious.
Nope, I had like shorts and a t-shirt on, and I had like this Sims fishing t-shirt where the American flag on the back was composed of a bunch of different flies for fly fishing. And funny thing, I bought the T-shirt at Goodwill. I was like, I need some new T-shirts. Let me see what they got here. So it's like one of my favorite $7 T-shirts. That's what I was wearing when I ran into old Chuck Schumer. What I told Chuck Schumer is that really got under his skin. I said, hey, Chuck, we're going to defeat John Tester in Montana this November. And he just whipped around and gave me this look. Just that alone really got under his skin, because he and John Tester, I mean, they're practically one and the same. I mean, they're both there. Oh, yeah. I mean, John Tester is New York's third senator, right?
Right. They're joined at the hip. There's no two ways about it. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not able to get on MontanaTalks.com because I don't have a computer, but I just wanted to hear it straight from you. And thank you. Thank you very much.
Do you not have a smartphone, or you still got the old school little flip phone going on?
Yep.
Smart man.
The flip phone.
Smart man. Smart man.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm trying to get away from all this. I don't even have TV service. I don't watch TV at all.
Well, you don't need that. You got radio. That's all you need. Yeah, that's all you need.
Exactly right. I have you in the morning for 4 hours, and I'm tickled pink.
Oh, you're too kind. What'd you think of the Hunter Biden news yesterday? Hunter Biden guilty of all charges.
Well, I'm thinking this is just a not a ploy, but it's a way to say for the Democrats and Joe Biden, look, we're doing something, you know, nobody's above the law, that sort of thing. I have a funny feeling there won't be much of a sentence coming his way, and if so, he'll be pardoned by the president.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. To quote Adam Sandler from an Adam Sandler movie, when I heard the news about Hunter Biden, whoopity-doo, right? Yeah. Okay, big freaking deal. So Joe Biden and the Democrats are throwing his own son under the bus, basically, to protect himself from the bigger story.
Yes, exactly. And the bigger charges that should have come his way, like the tax evasion and all the other things, which have run the statute of limitations, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. No, that was the reaction I had yesterday. You know, I think it was right at our 9:20 break in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. That's when the news broke. And it was a listener in Butte who called Travis on the studio line and said, hey, Hunter Biden just found guilty of all three charges. So John Jackson and I were kind of given our immediate reactions. And that was my immediate reaction, was like, oh, they're going to use this to say, oh, see, Donald Trump was held accountable and so is Hunter Biden. All is fair. No, it's not. This sham political persecution of Donald J. Trump. And now they're letting the big guy get off. by throwing the son under the bus, but he's going to get let off eventually anyway, too. I think we all expect that.
Right, and that's the thing. The focus should be on the big guy. This is a man who should be, you know, having charges brought against him, especially impeachment, simply because of what he's done at the border. He's violated his constitutional oath, and he's violated a number of our Constitution, what he's supposed to do according to the Constitution. Actually, Aaron, what about the 25th Amendment? They could bring, I think they could bring that up.
But then you got Kamala ready to step up. But it's, I'll tell you what, if look at that video of him freezing up at that Juneteenth celebration. I mean, to quote a Forrest Gump movie, something wrong with that boy. Vivek Ramaswamy took to X and made the same point that I was trying to make yesterday, but very well said here by Vivek Ramaswamy, former presidential candidate.
So Hunter Biden was convicted. Big freaking deal. This trial was a sham. Just like the Trump trial, it was a sham, but a sham for a different reason. It's a sham designed to legitimize the Trump conviction. That's why it came right after, even for charges that date way far back. But it also avoids accountability for the Biden crime family on the actual things that Hunter Biden should have been charged for. Like, for example, peddling foreign influence while his actual father, Joe Biden, was the vice president of the United States. Hunter had no business serving on the board of a Ukrainian energy company, a state-affiliated energy company that's affiliated with the same country, Ukraine, that his father, now as the U.S. president, is sending hundreds of billions of dollars of your taxpayer money to. That's where the real crimes lie. So this deflects accountability for the actual investigations that are more close to implicating Joe Biden, while coming in convenient timing right after the sham Trump conviction in the veil of bipartisanship. Don't buy it. I said this before, I'll say it again. This is a smokescreen, and the reality is you got to cut through it to get to the essence of what's happening in this country.
Yeah, well said there by Vivek Ramaswamy. Totally agree with everything that he just said right there. Greg Jarrett also kind of weighed in on how the Bidens are still getting away with really the most serious of crimes. Plus, Andy McCarthy weighs in on how they didn't even want this to go forward in the first place. If it wasn't for the whistleblowers, we wouldn't have even gotten this Hunter Biden trial. Ron and Big Fork next up on the phone lines.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. When they start the game, they don't say work ball, they say play ball, said Hall of Famer and Pittsburgh Pirate legend Willie Stargell. Pop said that even though the baseball vernacular is stocked with phrases about working the count or the bullpen getting too much work, the congressional players in the congressional baseball game, not workers, truly relish playing the game. But it is a lot of work. Practice for both teams begins in February when the ground is still frozen and as hard as the bricks comprising the outfield wall at Wrigley Field. Lawmakers are only in Washington a few days a week, so both teams maximize their practice schedules. So when are lawmakers free to field some ground balls or take batting practice? Try 5:45 in the morning. Don't tell Stargell the congressional game isn't work ball. That's why the players prepare so hard. There have been legendary collisions at home plate, worthy of Pete Rose and Ray Fossey. But still, when the game begins, the umpire will declare not work ball, but play ball. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I got a message on our Montana Talks app from Right On John in Bozeman. China is ready to take over the world currency, and they will very soon if the Democrats, not Democratic yet, keep us running down the rat hole, and we will lose this country we love. That's a message from Right On John in Bozeman. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. To that point that was made by Mike in Big Timber, concerns continue about Biden's age and mental acuity after video shows him seemingly frozen during a White House Juneteenth celebration. Here's Kevin Cork from the White House.
Depending on your perspective, watching the 81-year-old president of the United States appear frozen stiff during the Juneteenth celebration was either an excusable momentary pause of enjoyment, you know, maybe a lack of rhythm, or it was a shocking reminder of the many and growing concerns surrounding his age and acuity, with some even questioning the wisdom of his continued candidacy at all, including Nate Silver, the famed polling guru and founder of 538, who recently noted on X, quote, "If Biden is still struggling in August, he needs to consider stepping aside."
All right. Is the process underway? Are they going to try a late summer surprise to try to save the Democrats in November? All right. Into the phone lines we go. Ron in Big Fork. Thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah. When I heard the verdict yesterday, I was started to laugh. If you look at what happened with this trial, you've got one part of the Department of Justice doing a prosecution that a first or second year law student could have accomplished. You look at a 4473 form, and it's very simple. He lied. At the other end of the spectrum, you've got the FBI running interference. They're not sure if the computer is, if the laptop is the correct one. So you've got the DOJ putting on this kabuki dance for us. Washington, D.C. is nothing more than a bunch of attorneys scrambling around, suing each other. It's a never-ending litany of investigations. That's all it is, a bunch of investigations. To think the DOJ is just running interference like a mob boss. So.
No, Ron, thanks for the call. And I know you've got a legal background, so I appreciate your legal insight. You know what it reminds me of? Actually, you know what? I'm gonna cue up Tim and Billings early here, because I think Tim will know where I'm coming from on this one. Hey, Tim, thanks for calling. Tim, are you there?
Morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, before I get to what you called in to talk about, have you seen these social media videos? And they're like making fun of dudes. They're making fun of husbands, and it's like this video where it's like you know, the guy emptied the dishwasher. You know, his wife says, "What have you done all day?" And he's like, "I emptied the dishwasher. Behold, look at this." You know, like that's what they just did with the Hunter Biden, you know, guilty verdict. Is, "Oh, look at what we did. Oh, wow, good for you." Yeah, dun, 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 dun. Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I knew you'd know where
you
I was coming from.
Yeah. You did what was expected of it. It's like telling my kids to pick up the house now that summer started. Hey, do your chores. You come home. Geez, I did all this work. What'd you do today? Well, I worked all day. Thanks for participating in the household.
That's
right.
Congratulations.
You're a productive member of society. You've done the absolute bare minimum to live in this house.
You know, I was, I forget who I ran into. Oh, it was yesterday. It was off air, but we were joking. I was joking. You know, earlier this week, I spoke with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. And, you know, apparently people got quite the kick out of this report about, you know, the super pigs are close to invading Montana. You know, they're 18 miles from the North Dakota border. The super pigs are coming in. But Evelyn reported how, you know, these super pigs, these wild hogs, survive the winters by living in pigloos. So I was joking with this guest off air about how, yeah, my kids have their own pigloos that they've created as well.
Well, I think there's been a super pig living in Big Sandy for quite a while.
Speaking of invasive species, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So what I was called about is you just had Tulsi Gabbard on at the end of the last hour, and I wouldn't be my first pick, but I certainly wouldn't be shocked if President Trump slated her to be the vice presidential candidate, and a couple of reasons why. One, she's a veteran. Just like you have respect for her because she's a veteran. Other veterans will likely have appeal to that fact as well. Two, not that it matters to me, not that it matters to you or most conservatives, she is a minority woman of color, right? So some people, they need to check those boxes. There's two boxes checked right there in those Olympics or whatever we want to call them. The third item is, you know, she was a Democrat. She saw how poorly they treated her if she you know, dared think for herself and didn't just use the hive mind and repeat what she was being told to say. And so, you know, she removed herself from that situation, which anybody with a logical brain would. So she has seen, you know, exactly how rotten they can be. And I think if you put that on the ballot, you're going to pull a lot of these people who are middle of the road, undecided, maybe left-leaning, but they can't go with Joe Biden again, and they may not have a stomach for Donald Trump. But that might be the straw that breaks the camel's back for him and say, well, at least he's looking to reach across the aisle and get with somebody who's not necessarily sees eye to eye with him on every issue.
Yeah,
and
well, I think it's a hugely powerful narrative. It's a hugely powerful narrative. I mean, remember former Democrat Governor Brian Schweitzer here in Montana. Yeah. You know, I've got a Republican running mate. Now, Bollinger didn't do anything as lieutenant governor and probably abandoned most of his actual Republican principles, but it didn't matter. It was a good narrative. Moderates liked it, maybe even some squishy Republicans liked it. So it was just a good narrative for him and the Democrats, right? And it helped them with legislative races and more. And so, yeah, I think all those points you just mentioned right there would, if he had somebody like her on the ticket, I mean, it would be like the final nail in the coffin for the Democrats' presidential hopes in 2024. But I think others would also say, man, you know, Donald Trump is doing so well right now that why not pick, a Byron Donalds, a Tim Scott or something else? But no, either way, mad respect for Tulsi Gabbard.
I think he's got the base so well locked up. If he can focus on those outlying tangents of, you know, voters, I mean, he could win 50 states. He could win Hawaii with her on the ticket. When's the last time a Republican won Hawaii? Have they ever? Maybe Richard Nixon.
Well, you don't need to win all 50 states, though. You just need to win that Electoral College. But I think the other thing is to win the
counting contest.
Yeah. The other thing that's important is who are we potentially teeing up to be the potential Republican presidential candidate in 2028 as well? Tim, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. 406-294-0970. One thing that I think Ron and Big Fork alluded to here, he alluded to, you know, with regard to this Hunter Biden, oh, big deal. Whoopity-doo, right? To quote Adam Sandler, the federal charges against Hunter Biden, they're just shielding the big guy here once again and acting like they actually did something. But remember the 51 spies who lied to the American people, who claimed that Hunter Biden's laptop was not real? Here's what John Solomon had to say on Hannity last night. John Solomon with justthenews.com.
Yeah, as I reported in 2020 on your show, and as the IRS whistleblowers later confirmed, the FBI corroborated the laptop in its entirety by March of 2020, eight months before the 51 so-called intelligence analysts called it Russian disinformation. When they called it Russian disinformation, I called U.S. law enforcement, and they told me, no, we corroborated it. So the FBI was telling people, if you were willing to make a phone call back in the fall of 2020, that this laptop was real. And it's a shame that 51 men and women signed their name to a letter knowingly trying to mislead the American people days before an election when a single phone call, they all had security clearance, they could have called the FBI. They chose not to. They chose to mislead the American people in the most awful way.
That's right. That's right. And you remember, we had the guy who found Hunter Biden's laptop on this show. We did a live show from the Summit Cigar Lounge in Billings with Richard Miniter with Zinger News. It was a fascinating conversation with him. Okay, next up on the phone lines, let's go to Christy in Lovina. Christy, what's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. I would like to advertise a fun event we're having in Lovina this weekend. If anybody wants to have something to do, we're going to have a volunteer fire department is putting on a pancake breakfast from 7 to 10 a.m. We're going to have a car show from 10 to 2. There's going to be vendors in the park from 10 to 4. Our Adams Hotel is having tours at 10, noon, and 2. And other buildings on Main Street, our other historical buildings, will be open from 10 to 3. We'll have food trucks. And there'll be kids events that are fundraising for our Levina School Association at 4-H. They'll be from 11 to 2. And then in the evening, we're having a street dance from 7 to 10.
Wow, what a great lineup of events. You know, I've driven through Levina so many times, and I've always looked at that, like, is it that big white historic hotel building? And I've always like, man, that must be cool to walk through that. So sounds like a great opportunity this weekend all around. All right, hold that thought. We got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. But yeah, Levina, Montana, starting in the morning with the pancake breakfast, all through a street dance. On Saturday night, I tell you what, if you haven't taken your kids to a street dance, you want them to experience real Montana, take them to a Montana street dance.
Democracy 24.
Montana Senator Steve Daines is facing a new challenge as he works to flip the Senate. The head of the GOP's Senate campaign arm says he'll continue supporting Maryland candidate Larry Hogan, even after a Trump campaign senior advisor blasted Hogan for urging Americans to respect the Trump verdict.
I still think Larry Hogan can flip Maryland, but Larry Hogan's going to run his campaign. He'll run his race, and President Trump will run his race.
It comes as Daines tries to avoid a repeat of the GOP's flop in 2022.
Every vote's going to matter.
Republicans need to flip just two seats. West Virginia is already poised to turn red. But Republican candidates are being out-fundraised and outspent by Democrats across the board.
That's why a grassroots support is so important. The Democrats do that better than we do.
In Montana, I'm Aisha Hasmi, Fox News.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
For all the media buildup, I don't know how Hunter Biden thought, even on the favorable turf of Delaware, he was going to get away with these gun charges. And of course, it took a jury only 3 hours to convict him. His defense made no sense at all. He's admitted being a drug addict. So this came down to on when he signed the gun purchase form. Was it the day of, the week of, 3 weeks before? The only real mystery here is why the president's son didn't plead guilty. Spare his father the personal and political anguish. President Biden, as Democrats are pointing out, said he accepts the verdict. He didn't attack the judge. There are certain parallels here in which both Donald Trump, and I'm not comparing the cases, and Hunter Biden think that they've been treated unfairly. Hunter's still facing a tax evasion charge. And meanwhile, the Trump campaign says this is the distraction from the real crimes of the Biden crime family, because that could potentially rope in the president. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Jesse Waters had a great segment on Fox News last night. Just talking about the difference in how the fake news media covered the Trump verdict versus the let's throw the son under the bus Hunter Biden verdict. I mean, they were celebrating the sham verdict against Donald Trump. But then when it came to Hunter Biden's verdict, it was, we regret to inform you, sad news now developing. I mean, it's just so phony and so comical the way Jesse Waters called him out last night. I want to play a little sample of that for you here in just a second. But first, let's go back into the phone lines. Steve in Bozeman next up, listening to 1450 KMMS. What's going on, Steve?
Good morning. A couple things. One of them, I don't think we should think in terms of Biden running for president. We need to look beyond that because he's not going to do it. And it's evidenced by the fact that Hunter Biden got convicted. That means that the Department of Justice just pulled back their bias against or for him to help set up the regime change that's currently in there. They're going to run Gavin Newsom or God forbid, Mike Obama. So, you know, they're just going to set it up. They're going to set it up so it's easy to switch him over. I mean, if not on the cognitive basis alone, he's going to become a political liability legally. So and that leads us to the other. There is no justice system. The Department of Justice is we don't live in a representative democracy anymore. It's a neo-Marxist government that controls everything. When they start sending people like President Trump and Steve Bannon and a whole list of people to prison, man, once they get through that, the second tier, third tier, fourth tier, we're all going to go to jail, you know.
No, you're exactly right. Why is there not more outrage? Why is there not more outrage about what they're doing to Steve Bannon right now? I mean, they get to defy congressional subpoenas all day long. They ignore a congressional subpoena. I wish I had the list in front of me here. Eric Holder.
He should have gone.
Eric the gun runner Holder, who wants to take your guns but runs guns to the cartel. Like they get to defy congressional subpoenas, but some guy like Steve Bannon ignores a congressional subpoena, and they are literally going to throw him behind bars. So don't lecture us about, oh, no one's above the law.
Complete BS. I can't listen to any of it anymore, frankly. But I mean, I listen to you and a few other people. But you know, Hunter Biden, if anybody listening to this radio right now, if you lied on a 4473, I think, ATF form, you'd already be in prison or convicted felon. And that's just proof that was delayed. They finally just let it, the Department of Justice turned a blind eye to protecting him. So to set him up. So anyway, that's fine.
Well, and again, they didn't even want you. You're right. This was an open and shut case. It was the most clear, easiest case to prosecute ever regarding Hunter Biden, all of his drug use, and then lying on this gun form, right? And yet here, ironically, is Joe Biden speaking at a gun control event yesterday with that joke of an organization, Moms Demand Action. You know, it's like, wow, here, your son's using drugs and getting a gun and lying on the federal form to get it. And yet here you are standing in front of a gun control group. I mean, what a bunch of hypocrites. But to your point, Steve, thanks for the phone call. To your point, I mean, the whole thing was a sham. And look, here they are. This special counsel, David Weiss, is acting like he was such a great champion here. David Weiss was trying to do everything possible to give Hunter Biden a sweetheart deal in the first place. And if it wasn't for these whistleblowers that came forward, this trial would have never even moved forward. Andy McCarthy laid it out last night on Fox News as well. Before I get to the Jesse Waters segment, listen to what Andy McCarthy had to say to that very point Stephen Bozeman was talking about. Okay, hold on. Let me get it queued up, ready to go for here again. And of course, my audio thing is freezing on me. All right. Hey, Travis, can you queue up that Andy McCarthy clip and run it in there? Let me know if you're hearing me and if you can roll that. My music file player here just decided to do the Juneteenth celebration by Joe Biden. It's just freeze. It's staring at me right now. The circle is spinning. He might be answering a phone call or something. So, all right. Well, I'll see. I'll just shut down and restart. You know, they got to do that with Joe every now and then, too. They got to just, did you hit Control-Alt-Delete yet? Maybe that'll get Joe dancing at the Juneteenth celebration once again. All right. Let's see. Yeah, we'll pull that. Okay, I think I got it restarted here. Let's see if this Juneteenth celebration can get back up and running for you here.
A lot of history happened here before that plea deal blew up as it deserved to. You know, Weiss had this case, Sandra, from October of 2018. Any other defendant would have been prosecuted by the end of 2018 or the beginning of 2019. Weiss got the gig as Delaware U.S. attorney during the Trump years because his nomination was green-lighted by the two Biden-allied Delaware senators, and he dutifully did nothing on this case for a couple of years, which is why they kept him when Joe Biden took office and why it was very convenient for them to be able to wave around that he was a Trump appointee while he continued to sit around as the statute of limitations chewed up his case. They didn't even want to do a sweetheart deal. They tried to get rid of this case with nothing. And it was only because of the whistleblowers who came forward and the attention that that brought to this matter that they had to go to court and try at least to get something past a federal judge. But it was so absurd that it crumbled on the basis of just a few basic questions.
Yeah, good points there. That's a former federal prosecutor, Andy McCarthy, who was also on Mark Levin's radio show yesterday afternoon as well. And good point. They didn't even want to give him the sweetheart deal. They were going to make sure nothing happened at all. Nancy in Roundup next up on the phone lines. Nancy, what's going on?
Well, quite a bit here in Musselshell County, and thank you for taking my phone call. Signal Peak Coal Mine. Senator Steve Daines was working on a deal between the Crow Tribe and Signal Peak, the CEOs, the owners of the mine. And the deal is that the Crow people would receive 4,600 acres of productive coal acreage. In return, they would give 4,600 acres of federal land to Signal Peak people. And they could harvest the coal and resell it to Signal Peak because they're having a supply and demand issue right now besides everything else. And, of course, being Indians, they're protected by federal law. That means that Joe Biden and these wacko environmentalists couldn't intrude on the reservations and stop their coal harvesting. And, unfortunately, our commissioners here in Musselshell County, right here in Roundup at the courthouse, they blocked the deal. So Kelly Gephardt, who is a neighbor of mine, he owns the sawmill post plant here in town. He is a former state senator, so the coal mine people went to him, and he's going up there trying to convince them to unblock this deal because it's a good deal, it's a fair deal, it would help everybody. The Crow tribe would benefit, we'd benefit, we could keep the mine open, jobs, the 260 jobs. So it's I'm very upset over it myself because, as you know, you had a guest. I think he was running for a state senate seat. I can't remember his name. He mentioned the fact that if we are going into a war, it takes a lot of power to lift off these missiles. And I don't have to tell you that the Chinese are in the Philippine waters right now, and they just caught six ISIS members here in our country that entered illegally. So we need energy because solar power and windmills aren't going to lift our missiles and our defense.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. First off, Nancy, if you have more info, you can send me about the Musselshell County Commissioners regarding this coal deal. Definitely send it my way. You've got my email and Travis's email as well, because I want to read more about that, because I'm with you. This deal just sounds like a win-win all around, where you've got, hey, it's going to be good for the Crow tribe because they've got Crow coal. They want to continue to develop. And the environmentalists in the Biden administration have been working to try to stop that through violations of the Interstate Commerce Clause and more. But, yeah, it sounds like you got a win-win here. It's a win-win for the Signal Peak coal mine, for Yellowstone County, for Musselshell County, for the whole state of Montana, and a win for the Crow Nation. So is there a holdup in Musselshell County? What's the holdup in Musselshell County? Nancy, thanks for calling in. I know you're on the leading edge of a lot of this type of information. So yet another reason we love taking your phone calls. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app if you've got something you want to talk about as well. Back right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
As far as I'm concerned, the gun charges, tax charges, it's the low-hanging fruit. You got to look at Burisma. You got to look at Joe Biden's massive lie that he never once spoke to his son, brother, or anybody about their farm business deals. You got to look at Devin Archer's testimony that, in fact, Joe participated in 20 calls that he knew of with Hunter and his farm business partners. You got to look at the meetings that Joe had with Hunter's farm business partners, including the Russian oligarch, Elena Batarina, at the Cafe Milano, and others, and all the countries. Why is he making millions? No experience, addicted to drugs. How did that happen?
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
In an era of escalating social unrest, rising crime rates, safeguarding your family has never been more critical. Now introducing the Burner, the less lethal pistol launcher. It's a non-lethal defense option. Now it's developed by common sense gun owners who value the power of choice. This device enables you to de-escalate dangerous situations effectively without the finality of lethal force. Burner offers a safer, sensible alternative that can save lives on both ends and protecting the user, delivering formidable stopping power to deter any aggressor. The Burner is ideal for those wary of traditional firearms. It provides an effective self-defense tool without deadly consequences. It's legal in all 50 states, no background check or permit required. It can be shipped directly to your door. It is an essential tool for responsible, non-lethal protection. Burner, BYRNA.com/Hannity. You also get 10% off any purchase. Stay safe with Burner, where smart defense meets innovation.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It's said that public attitudes toward scientific authority, and more specifically government authority, is at a low ebb these days. We're told that social influencers on TikTok have more sway than research professionals on matters of medicine, science, and climate. Of course, the people telling us this are researchers themselves. This seeming contradiction underscores just about the only thing you can definitively say about science and research, and that is its uncertainty. Those who are certain about things are rarely researchers, just as those who are researchers are rarely certain. But the pressure to meet public demand for certainty can distort even those who struggle to produce good research. There's something known in the research business as publication bias. No one wants to read a study that says two things, let's call them A and B, have no relation with each other. They want to hear about the A's that cause B, whether it's cancer, weight loss, or marital bliss. So we researchers dutifully seek out these kinds of findings. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox on Zap.
Apple is finally going to bring AI to its devoted users, but one tech magnate says that could be the last straw for him. Apple is holding its yearly Worldwide Developers Conference, where it revealed it is working with ChatGPT creator OpenAI to bring artificial intelligence to Apple's Siri personal assistant. It would make Apple competitive with companies like Microsoft and Google, which both are integrating AI into their services. But it didn't take long for Elon Musk to say that if Apple goes ahead with it, he'd ban all Apple products from his companies like X and SpaceX and Tesla, and would even make guests to their facilities lock their Apple devices in a safe before entering. Musk has been critical of the lack of security plaguing AI tech, plus his companies are working on... I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Springs Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you right now, 406-294-0970. I'm trying to think for the 9 o'clock hour. Should I start the hour with the Tulsi Gabbard interview, or should I end the hour with the Tulsi Gabbard interview? Here's why I'm thinking I should start the hour with it. I think I should start with it because then that way... like for example, even though I did the interview with Tulsi Gabbard, there might be something that I hear her say that stands out to me that I missed during the initial conversation. So I'm interested in going back and listening to it. But also my thoughts are this, is that if I start the show with the Tulsi Gabbard audio, it's a fairly quick conversation. Then we open up the phone lines and we can get your reactions to what she had to say. So you can kind of weigh in on what she had to say. Because otherwise, if I start the hour with open phones, then I play the Tulsi audio, there might be something that stands out that you want to talk about, but we don't have time for calls because the show's over by then. So maybe I'll start with it. First, though, hey, some of you, you're looking at the nice weather out there. You wish you could go on a big hike. You wish you could be out there playing golf. Doing something fun, maybe water skiing, but you're not going to water ski with those knees. You're not going to hike with those hips. Well, what if we could get you a natural treatment solution to get you over that pain? Let me tell you about QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. That's where they take the healing properties that are already in your body, put them directly into those achy joints. And it basically gets you moving again without the pain and without surgery and without those painkiller drugs so you don't get hooked on those. Call QC Kinetics now for a free consultation. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263. That's QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263. All right, we got a couple of minutes here before we wrap up this hour of the show. Let's go to Perry in Columbus. Perry, great to hear from you.
Good morning, Aaron. Thank God for people like Tulsi Gabbard. How refreshing and rejuvenating it is to turn on the radio and hear a real old-school Democrat speaking about our collective duty as citizens to protect and defend our constitutional rights and women's rights. You know, I'm old enough to remember watching JFK on our black and white TV and saying, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Try and imagine for a moment, if you dare, anyone from the radical New American left that would speak those words. Is there any thinking person left that can't see what claims to be the modern Democrat Party is nothing but a conglomeration of fascists, communists, and their useful idiots, the anarchists and professional grievance industry titans? Aaron, wouldn't you say as Republicans we should eagerly embrace and enlist everyone that doesn't want to see our constitutional republic destroyed by this deep state blob?
Well, I think, you know, look, I think of places like Butte, America, where there are a lot of old school Democrats. They're just as conservative as you and me. They're patriots. They've served their country. They love coal mining. They love copper mining, the jobs that come with it. And they work for the weekend. They like to get out there on their toys and go play in the great outdoors, you know, side by sides, pontoons, you know, and they see the environmental wackos that are constantly trying to shut them out of their own so-called public lands and try to shut down their jobs like they shut down Colstrip 1 and 2. And then now they see this radical woke agenda and they see the open borders. And John Tester has been supportive of everything that I just mentioned. So why would you still keep voting for that Democrat Party? Why would you vote for this flip-flop flat top? Tulsi Gabbard's leading the charge. Join her. Join her. Leave that party and save America. Perry, great to hear from you. Hey, Buck in the Shields Valley says they've got a Saturday and Sunday rodeo in Wilsall, Montana. Live music, rodeo, church at 9 a.m. They got a fireman's breakfast early Sunday morning, a parade at noon. Very cool service, open to all. Thanks, Buck.